Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway to the Supernatural, where we are discovering the gifts of the Spirit, the enablement, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, where Jesus really declares to us in John, the 12th chapter, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these. So we've been talking about them, we're discussing about them, but not just discussing them, but determining or believing God and allowing God, connecting with God, that we can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. We are called to walk in the supernatural. So we aren't just supposed to be inhabitants of the realm of the Spirit, but we are to be those that walk in the Spirit. Now, before we go any further, we're going to show you a couple of miracles. One is, well, they're both from Narok or Narok, Kenya. One is a deaf ear, and the other is a financial blessing that came because of a blessing of decree upon her life. Let's see these miracles. We'll be right back.
This man had been deaf in his right ear for 3 years. But tonight, after prayer in the name of Jesus, he can hear everything clearly. Pastor, speak in that ear. Come over in this ear right here. I'm going to plug this one up. Come on, for 3 years. Come on, somebody. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Last night, this woman. Remember, we prayed blessing and prosperity over you last night. She owed 17,000 shillings to the hospital. But today,
70,000 to 80,000.
I'm sorry. But she went there today. And somebody had went to the hospital and paid her bill. Come on, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You see there that there was not only a miracle that had to do with the deaf ear, and these have to do with deaf spirits. And we would say, well, how do we know which is which? Well, the discerning of spirits, really even the asking of questions. You know, if somebody has deaf ear, you can ask them, when did it happen to you? And some of them will tell you, well, I was sick when I was a child. Now we know that it may be a spirit of deafness that entered in, but it may also be a spirit of infirmity. So, you know, that's where God will lead you and God will guide you through the discerning of spirits that we'll talk about later. And then the other lady, we just proclaimed blessing and she accepted it. She told some of the team, I believe that I've been blessed tonight and I would like the blessing to come right here. And so sure enough, according to her desire, that's just what God did. God paid off her debt so that her child could be freed from that hospital. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And hold your kid hostage. I'd say, well, keep until they're about 40. Hallelujah. No, I'm kidding. So, but today we're going to start reading out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter again. And Rob, can you read from verse 7 on down through 10.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues.
Okay, now we are going to talk today, we've talked about the word of wisdom, but today we're going to pick up on the word of knowledge. Wisdom reveals, and all of the gifts of the Spirit reveal an attribute of God. So God is the God of wisdom. In other words, God's able to take the knowledge of the earth, of water, of life itself, and he's able to determine the wisest way that these things should act and interact one with another. God gives us words of wisdom in the midst of things that we're going through in order for us to have a successful end of what we are being attacked with or being involved in. So today we're going to talk about the word of knowledge. And Rob, this is, of course, is just, again, a segment of the knowledge of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
God knows everything about a man or a woman.
Yeah.
But sometimes in services we see people call people out or and they'll give them a they'll reveal a word of knowledge and say, you know, you this is going on in your body and so forth.
Yeah.
So that word of knowledge is just a portion of the knowledge that God knows about that individual's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the word of knowledge, when it comes, it is a word of the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
So that when people hear that word of knowledge, it's faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
So a word of knowledge has connected with it the faith.
Yeah.
And what happened when people hear that, oh, wow, this man's telling me what's going on in my life. Bang. Yeah,
and he doesn't
faith
know me.
Spring,
yeah.
And we don't know them. And faith rises up in their heart.
Yeah.
And then there's faith to receive that miracle to take place.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, people have multiple things with them. But God will reveal one thing and then another thing. And it's kind of like that the word of knowledge is taking away a layer of onion, one layer at a time, and revealing and strengthening and unveiling a more pure faith, as if they're saying, wow, God knows me. God is talking to me.
Yeah.
Wow, God does love me. All of these aspects of it come to pass in a word of knowledge.
And all that opens them up to receive what God wants to do in the moment or for in their life.
Yeah, because a lot of times if they would have had faith to be healed, they would have been healed.
Yeah.
So when God brings forth the word of knowledge, he's opening up a dimension of faith that they couldn't get from here, but it comes from God. And that dimension of faith, bang, opens up that miracle, and they receive their miracle.
That's really good. When Sunday night in the miracle service, you had a couple words of wisdom. and the one lady in particular where you had said she had something wrong with her hip, and she was had been separated from her husband.
From her son,
from her son,
about
and,
that
and
woman.
So that was really that was good.
That she also had like a needle in her arm was giving God was giving a transfusion and taking away these like every other day or every third day she would get flu symptoms and would bring her down and you know her bowel and her stomach area. And her son was there, and he had just been reconciled to her. So I kept telling him, pay attention, because that word of knowledge was unveiling to him that God knew everything. And so I said, you pay attention, because he would get faith by hearing. Wow, how did he know that? Where did that come from? And that just simply came from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it was kind of like two people hearing a word of knowledge and getting faith.
Absolutely.
But the word of knowledge, Rob, does a lot of things. The scriptures, or a lot of times when people teach on the gifts, they divide them in three gifts.
Yeah.
They divide them in the verbal gifts, which are the most common misused gifts, or the most common gifts that don't come through maybe in the way that God wants them to come through, because people mix their personalities and their own thoughts with God's thoughts.
Yeah.
And you can only get beyond that by just continuing to exercise it and realize that instruction is a way of life.
Yeah.
And if you aren't ready for rebuke, for instruction, with all long suffering and reproof, then what you don't want to do is operate in the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because you're going to grow and you're going to make mistakes. And but you still need to pursue them. No matter what, how many mistakes you make, you need to pursue them.
Yeah.
and continue to believe God. But the word of not, there are the verbal gifts, which are tongues. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of those tongues, and prophecy. Now, these can be almost at random brought forth even by the will of man.
Yeah.
But they have to be judged by the scriptures. And the way that we know how the gifts are of God or just of an individual is when it's of God, the atmosphere changes. Yeah, the atmosphere is permeated with faith and love and grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just changes.
Yeah, they edify.
It edifies, comforts, and exhorts. And that's what the gift of tongue does to an individual.
Yeah.
A gift of tongues interpreted does to a congregation or to another body. And the gift of prophecy. And what happens sometimes, I'll say this, and I hope that people understand. There are different dimensions of the gift of prophecy in tongues. There is a time that we speak like children, but there is a time that we rise up and we put away childish things. Yeah. Now, one of the things that happens in churches is that when somebody receives something, they'll come and say, you know, I had a vision or I had a dream, which it doesn't even matter how they got it, because how they got it is not for the church. That was for them.
Yeah,
but what they got is for the church. So we want to make sure that when we bring forth the word of prophecy, that we don't go back into how we got it. Because not important how we got it.
Yeah.
It's the prophecy that edifies, comforts, and exhorts, not the venue that it came.
How it was received.
Came to us.
That's true.
And another thing is that I've heard people say, you know, praise me. God loves the praise of his people. And the people are already in praise.
Yeah.
What? Well, why did you do it? Well, God spoke it. Well, maybe it was just a prophecy to you to encourage you, to let you know that God's speaking to you. But if it's already taking place, the word of prophecy is not needed.
That's true.
And so now a child would do it anyway.
Yeah.
But a mature person would sit back, and if it's already being carried out, they would keep silent. And so sometimes that gets involved in the verbal gifts.
Yes.
And so we have to make sure that we don't prophesy out of our own self, or we aren't just receiving a confirmation word.
Yeah.
But if somebody's already shouting and praising God, and God would tell them to praise me, I'd say, well, like, God, are you paying attention? Look at him. And so I think that it's important that we be able to, you know, discern that which needs to be applied and that which doesn't need to be applied.
Do you think that many times people have a word of exhortation, they confuse a prophecy?
Yes.
In the church?
A word of exhortation can be brought forth, and it really should be told. Sometimes it gets told in our church, other times it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it should be told, because if it's not told, if it's not defined, if it's not a definition is not given to it, people will think that it's prophecy, and it's not prophecy.
Yeah.
So that sets the whole order of the church again.
Yeah.
And again, the word of exhortation, you may have got it before the service, you may have got it in a dream or a vision. But if it already happens in a service, then understand God has shown you something that would happen.
That would happen, yeah.
And so there's no need for us to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if I heard a word of prophecy and I was laying on my face before God and it said, you know, come and bow before me. Come and worship me. I'd be saying, like, God, I'm on my face. How can I go any deeper?
Yeah.
You see where it goes from exaltation, encouragement, edification, and exhortation into the place of confusion.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when we speak a word that is out of season.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help those that are hearing it. But that has to come from mature people. And we mature, people make mistakes. There's no sense in regretting the mistakes.
Yeah.
It means that we have to learn from them.
Yeah.
But it is time that we learn, because all of this error or this mimicking or saying it was God and it wasn't God, or using it to the place that it hurts instead of edifies, yeah, comforts, and exhorts in the vocal gifts, it means that people get turned off.
Yeah.
And Paul wrote to the church at 1 Thessalonica, despise not prophecy.
Yeah.
Because that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And they just came to the conclusion that this is nothing but man.
Yeah.
There's no more God than nothing.
Yeah, and that can happen.
Oh, absolutely it can happen.
I can't tell you how many prophecies I've had over me that were.
Boy, you and me both.
Yeah.
Man.
But there's some I hold on to, and I know it was from the Lord. It's a confirmation, you know,
yeah,
the things the Lord had already spoken. And, you know, many times I think they'll come that way.
Yeah.
Something.
And we will get into yeah, that when we get.
Yeah.
But
get
there are the vocal gifts.
Yeah.
And then there is what is called the power gifts, which is the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then there are what we are talking about right now, the gifts of revelation or the revelation gifts. And they reveal things.
Yeah.
They reveal the omniscience of God, the all-knowing of God, the wisdom
of God,
of God, why God can give counsel beyond ourselves. And so we're talking about the revelation gifts. And the first one was wisdom. And the one that we're discussing today is the word of knowledge. So let's get in to, let's go to John 1 and verse 45. John 1, 45. It's so important that pastors operate in a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
Word of knowledge has a lot to do with the direction that we are going to take. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is operating in the word of knowledge. And it says in verse 1, 45 through 51. Can you read that, Rob?
Yeah. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he saith to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before thou call, Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen.
Now, we see what the word of knowledge can contain. We know that beyond a shadow of doubt,
yeah,
it shows us things to come. When somebody sees something in the future or God shows them something that's going to happen, that is a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
Now we know that Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree before he had ever come. So he knew that he was coming.
Yeah.
And he knew where he had been. He knew his spiritual condition.
Yeah.
He knew what he needed to believe.
Yeah, that's good.
And in this little phrase, Philip, before thee, that thou wast under the fig tree, then Nathanael says, oh, my word, wow.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't always know what is being encapsulated in that word of knowledge.
Yeah.
But like the woman with the at the well,
yeah, the
when Jesus said, you've been married five times, and the one you're now with,
not
she goes back and says, yeah, oh, he told me everything that I had ever done, which was not true.
Yeah.
But in her aspect,
yeah,
what she did was, she says, this is God,
yeah,
because he knows everything.
Yeah, he revealed everything.
Yeah, and so the city was so intrigued about that, that they came out to the well. They heard Jesus preach, and they said, now we believe him,
yeah,
because of what we have heard. But a word of knowledge does reveal that God knows everything about us.
Yeah.
And so in this passage of scripture, when he comes, Nathanael says, well, how did you know me? Well, before you came here, I saw you under the fig tree.
Yeah.
So a word of knowledge shows us or reveals to us things to come. Mm-hmm. And we find that in Luke, the 22nd chapter, where Jesus sent Peter and John into a village. They might find a place for the Passover lamb.
Yeah.
And he said, now there's going to be a man with a vase upon his head. Follow him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so Jesus, again, knew what was going to happen by a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And so a word of knowledge reveals things that are going to happen to us, Rob. And it's important that, you know, when we have a word of knowledge, that we pay attention.
Yeah.
And it comes in a lot of different ways. Here, Jesus evidently saw it in a vision.
Yeah.
He could have seen it during a cat nap. He could have seen it in a dream.
Yeah.
It doesn't really tell us, except Jesus said, I saw you.
Yeah.
So some way he saw him in a vision or a dream, open-eyed vision, however it happened, but Jesus saw him. So words of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit can be unveiled to us in dreams or in visions or just by thought.
Yeah.
Somebody would say, a thought, yes. What is a thought? A thought is something that has not been fed through the imagination of man.
Yeah.
The imagination of man is the, projector.
Yeah, it does.
Because whatever you imagine, that's what's going to come to pass, because that's what you're going to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Numbers, the 13th chapter. Oh, my word, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And then Joshua and Caleb said, oh, no, man, they're bred for us.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get two opposites? One is a grasshopper, and the other is a loaf of bread. But it was all through the imagination, what they had meditated, what they had thought, what effect it had had on their mind. So here Jesus reveals us, or it's revealed to us, Rob, word of knowledge shows us things to come.
Yeah.
Now, that's important that we have that because of the affairs, even in our life, in the affairs of our home.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have the word of knowledge functioning in our life so that we can be warned or directed of things to come.
Yeah, that's good.
So that things don't come up on us. You know, the Bible says that we are not to let the sudden happenings bring fear to our heart.
Yeah.
So we can avoid that and deal with things that we run into, Rob, because of the faith that's been put in us by the word of knowledge.
Yes. We were out street witnessing, and it was a lady. I was sharing with her, and the Lord said, tell her that the raise she put in for is hers. She's getting it. Now, first instinct is, what if she didn't put in for a raise?
Yeah, she don't even want to work.
Yeah, I don't even know if she has a job. So,
yeah.
So I said that to her, and she started crying and said, I prayed about that this morning. I put it in last week. And so she ended up being very receptive to what the Lord wanted to say and pray for. We prayed with her, but that was something that was to come.
Just like Nathanael.
Exactly.
It unveiled to her.
Yeah.
Well, how did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, God knows it.
Her eyes got about that big around.
Yeah.
I said.
And that was, she received faith that, hey, I'm going to get it. That changed the words of her mouth. She started speaking things that were not as though they were.
Yeah.
She started thanking God for something that had already happened.
Yeah.
And these are all vocal aspects of faith.
Yeah.
And you deposited that in her.
Yeah. And it came through a thought. A thought. So.
Right. Hallelujah. And in this, in a word of knowledge, we see that you can see a person's spiritual ability and spiritual place. We know that in Luke, the 22nd chapter, you told me in verse 31. Let's stay right here, but let's flip over to Luke 22:31. And can you read that for us, Rob? This is about Peter and his temptation.
Yes. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
So now we see that a word of knowledge reveals to an individual that they are in a battle.
Yeah.
Now, it did two things for Jesus.
Yeah.
It says, look, I've seen in a word of knowledge, this is what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
Or fighting with. And Jesus then, it wasn't so important that Peter heard it. It was important that Jesus responded to Peter's need, and he did it through intercessory prayer.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So again, God shows us things to come. Then he shows us things that are going on. One of the things that was going on in Nathanael's life, he was laying under a fig tree.
Yeah.
Just chilling out and meditating on God. But in Peter's life, he was engaged in a spiritual war for his soul.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said the devil desires to sift thee like wheat. Separate your soul from your spirit.
Yeah.
He wants you out of the picture. He wants you separated from God.
Yeah.
But I prayed for you, and when thou art converted.
Yeah.
So it must have had to do something that if the devil could have got to Peter's faith, Peter wouldn't have been there on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, 3,000 wouldn't have been added to the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we think of all the power.
The implications.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so when God gives you a word of knowledge about somebody, you may not have to tell them about it, but what you need to do is activate your faith in it so that they can get out of it.
Hmm.
And he said, when you are converted, you know, then preach the gospel. Tell them.
Yeah.
But Peter got delivered out of where he was.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough faith to get out of it.
No.
Because Jesus said, now that you're coming out of it, when you are, then, and you get converted. So in that moment, in that time, Peter's eternity was in balance.
Yeah. It's the fight for his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he couldn't overcome it by himself. But Jesus was made aware of the battle, and he was made aware what he was going through. And when Jesus hears the word of knowledge, he has enough faith to go into the arena of Peter's battle, and he has enough faith to win.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Jesus had all the faith that he needed. I understand that. But we're looking at how it affects us.
Yeah.
So if we've seen somebody by a word of knowledge in a battle, guess what? We would then be enabled with a faith, a fortitude, and an authority to go into that battle and bring out that person that was in there, to rescue them, to bring an end to it, a victorious end for Christ.
Yeah.
So again, that is another word of knowledge that takes us. I fully believe that Jesus was on the road of Jericho for at a set time for a purpose. Because he said, I do nothing except I hear or see my Father do it.
Exactly.
So it must have been the time. It must have been a word of knowledge. Go down to the road of Jericho. There's somebody that has fell among the thieves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we see that. And then in John, the first chapter, as we were reading, when we look at Nathanael, it said, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? You know that a word of knowledge can identify people that are going to come into your life, and it can identify their spiritual condition.
Yeah.
It can identify their motives. It may give you their name.
Hmm.
But it's important that we have this word of knowledge, because we can see what's happening.
Yeah.
And we know it's a part of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will show you things to come.
Yeah, there you go.
And so this word of knowledge is to be operated or active in our life. It will show us things to come. And so you can prepare for them, so that you can get ready for them, so that you can set up a barricade, so that you can release authority. You may, by a word of knowledge, stop an attack on your family. You may, by a word of knowledge, rescue your family out of an attack, or your brothers or your sisters in Christ. But that word of knowledge will show us things to come. So it's important that we have that. and it'll show us what people are going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, even it unveils to us even the working, what is God and what is not God. Yeah.
And as a pastor, I could show you, you know, things coming to the church or
yeah,
where
absolutely.
The condition of the church or where it's headed and
yeah.
all kinds of different
and,
things.
And, you know, sometimes we do have to realize that the pastor is the under-shepherd
yeah.
of Christ.
Yeah.
And the church is submitted to that under-headship as well as the headship of Christ. And so when a pastor says, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you know, God asked us to do this, God showed me this happening, that when a pastor gives a call, hey, we're going to pray this night, or we're going to do this these days, you know, a pastor is to have a voice as if Christ himself is talking to
yeah,
us.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the Bible tells us that when King Jehoshaphat decreed a fast, they all fasted.
They all fasted, yeah.
It wasn't, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying we're fasting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he had to be submitted to.
The king of Nineveh, too, he called
yeah,
for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So all of these things, like fasting and so forth, these come under the directive of the leading of God. God might have gave the word of knowledge of fasting, what's going to happen during a fast. And God might have said, you know, don't share it with the people, but I'm showing you.
Yeah.
So we have to have confidence in our shepherds that we can follow them
yeah.
and that we respond to their voice. Mm. And it's not just about an individual. It's about a corporate anointing
yeah.
that God wants us to walk in, which is more powerful than an individual anointing. Now, then it goes on down in verse 48, says, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? So there again, we discover that the word of knowledge reveals to us the names of people. In fact, I've called people out and seen other people that, you know, call out and give them their name, their address,
yeah.
What was going on. And it was needed. Well, why doesn't God do that to me or do it to everybody? Because God divides the gift severally as he wills. He's the one choosing the avenue of faith that we take.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to go show yourself to a priest or whether you're going to dip yourself seven times in the pool.
Yeah.
So the river. So you have to understand that God is the one that's choosing this.
Yeah.
So if God chooses that for you, great. But then it says in verse 48, before that Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And then out of that, here's how powerful the word of knowledge is, God knowing everything. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. There again, it would be Jesus your Lord. You're in total control because
yeah.
I see you know these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in verse 50, it says, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these.
Hmm.
And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So there we see that the word of knowledge, Jesus is then unveiling to us in verse 51, that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I believe that the heavens are open up over us
yes.
as believers. Why? Jesus decreed that we would see that. So he spoke things that were not as though they were based on a word of knowledge.
Yeah. Would you consider that the condition of the church in Pentecost with the Holy Spirit?
Yes. In one sense, yes. But also, I believe that we have an open heaven.
Yeah.
I believe that we live under an open heaven. Now, we can clog it. We can pollute it
yeah.
by unbelief, by TV things, by entertainment, what we call it,
yeah.
By busyness of life, all those things.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that our heavens stay open and that they stay pure.
Pure. Yeah.
We have to. But Jesus told us that this would happen.
Yeah.
And angels are ascending and descending right now upon the Son of Man. Jesus used the Son of Man, I think, different ways. He was the Son of Man, but I think many times he referred to the Son of Man, you know, as us
yeah.
being the sons of
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
And so this word of knowledge opens up these areas. Now, we'll discuss it more in the coming days, but the word of knowledge can be released when you desire for it to be in your life. And again, we talked about God. I loose the word of knowledge in my life. I loose God, the word of knowledge, God in thought, in dreams, in visions. I loose the word of knowledge, God, to show me who I'm going to run into, to show me the things to come, God, to give me a word for someone else, God, to show me what I'm supposed to say. Why did Jesus say certain things? So we understand that as we start releasing that word of knowledge, as we look at these things, we begin to define it, and that begins to enable us how that we can release the gifts of the Spirit. God, I thank you that, God, you're showing me the condition of people's lives. God, I thank you that, God, you're showing me places that people have been. God, you're showing me, God, who they are, what they've been doing. You're giving me a word of knowledge that can help them to bring them to a place that they can again declare boldly, Jesus is Lord. All the gifts exalt Christ, but they unveil the Father. So we're talking about the word of knowledge, and we'll get back with it in the next week. So please join us. I know you're going to be blessed. Now let us pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask God that there would be an impartation of the gifts of the Spirit. And today, God, the word of knowledge into their life, in the name of Jesus, we loose it right now, God, and we give you the praise for it. Yes. Amen. And amen.